Others that work at night or work two jobs, the meal is already prepared. It's there in the home ready. Kids can heat it up and feed themselves. It's healthy, balanced nutrition, which many families struggle to provide. Whether they get food from other places, they still have to figure out how to make it work. So our meals are already healthy and nutritious and meet that need. The most important part, I think, is that it is tailored to families' needs. So we have a huge population of Russian families, for example, that they get a raw food component. They're there. They will cook the food for their families, and they get it raw. So they may get chicken, vegetables, fruit, and then they prepare it themselves. Many of the meals are ethnic. About 34% of the menu is ethnic, and it meets religious and vegetarian options as well. In the 3.5 years we've been providing the meals, we have served over 235,000 meals to children, another 157,000 meals to their caregivers. And the cost of the meal is extremely effective. It's only about $3.44 all in delivered to the family. And this is possible because we have about more than 7,500 hours of volunteer support providing the meals, which is, the value is over $180,000 if you put it to a dollar figure. It also meets the Children's Levy's goal in that 68% of the families are from East Portland. Another 63% of the families, the caregivers, are people of color, and 76% of the children are people of color that over the 3.5 years that we've served. I think one of the big things and the value that we hear from the program is, one, as I travel through the region, many people ask me about the program, other jurisdictions, and they always ask, once they hear about the program, how can we get that program for us? Gresham, for example, when I met with the mayor out there, he was wanting to know, how can we get this program in Gresham? Washington County, the same thing. Even Clark County, Washington. And so they all want to know how we can get the program because it meets families where they are. Again, it's simple, it's easy. We provide a loaf of bread, a bag of apples, gallons of milk, and then a prepared entree that meets those balanced nutritional requirements. One of the things, as I was sitting in a school not long ago with, we provide community dinners at the low-income schools. And I asked a mother if she was interested in the program, and she said no, she wasn't interested, and I asked her why not. And she told me that it was too hard to jump through all the hoops, that all these kind of programs, you always had to jump through hoops. And when I asked her to explain, she said, I don't want to prove that I'm poor. I can't prove it. I don't want to come up with a lease and signatures and all the documentation it takes. And even if I get through all that, then as soon as I get something that will help my family, I'm going to lose on the other end. And I know you're all aware that there's many times when poor families, they get 25 cents more raise for their job, and then they lose part of their TANF resources or their child care support. So this program really doesn't do those kinds of things. It's low barrier. We get people in right away. We can get them served within several days. And then we get out and serve them in a way that meets their needs. Kids are waiting at the door if it's prior to school. Our families are waiting, and every time they are so grateful to get the meal. And as we, as that mother said, the proof was when she found out it was low barrier and that she could get in and she wasn't hurt on the other side, she started to cry. I mean, it was one of those things that it so helps the family and meets their needs. So we're very much in support. We have capacity, like I say, through our senior model is what makes it work. And we appreciate the Children's Levy providing it, and hopefully it'll continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. That completes the invited testimony, Mayor.
Very good. Public testimony. How many people do we have signed up, Carla?
We have four people.
Please read the first three.
Okay, first three are Mimi Village of Hope Gurman, Julie Young, and Crystal Ilinski.
Very good. Reminder, 3 minutes when the red light goes off, your time is up.
Julie Young already spoke.
We'll go with Star Stoffer.
Very good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Mimi Village of Hope Gurman. And I'd like to just start out by saying, wow, that was an incredible presentation this morning, and I was really glad to be here for it. It was overwhelmingly wonderful, and I'm glad that all of these kids in so many different facets of our city are getting taken care of. Chloe, your absence this morning during communications was really rude.
To the resolution, please.
Here, I'm coming back to it right now, but that had to be said. You know, so I don't understand one thing. I understand the program, which is incredible. What I don't understand is, and maybe you can answer this for me, because I'd actually love an answer. How do we create such a callous divide between who we choose to take care of and who we don't? I don't understand why we figure out these incredible ways with money, with voters, with you know, petitioning our the people of our city that we need to take care of our kids, but then it stops there. We don't need to take care of our houseless community. And what my question is where does that divide come from? How do we pretend, or how do we continue to pretend that we're like a third world country where we get to say, well, we only have the ways and means or the money to do this, but we don't have the ways and means because of something, X factor, to take care of our houseless community directly? Am I allowed to ask for an answer? I know you don't have to give it to me, but I'm asking because I don't understand that.
I will give you an answer,
okay.
And then we'll move on to STAR.
That's fine.
We actually, if you look at the dollars that we are spending on youth and compare those dollars to the dollars we are spending on the homeless situation, prevention, shelter, housing, mental health services, behavioral health services, addiction services, job training, the resources going to children is a tiny fraction. Just for a home for everyone last year was about $28 million. I believe that we are doing a compassionate job with all. STAR.
She's actually next. I am?
If you'd like, whoever.
Okay.
We don't have all day, so
sure.
One of you go, please.
Oh, yeah, let's be sarcastic. Okay. My name is Crystal Elinsky. I represent 10,000. And speaking to the idea of the third world country, this is what I see. I've worked for a lot of these agencies over the years that we just heard speak. And I think they're amazing. I'm glad they still exist and that we managed to figure it out and fund them. Sometimes we have to ask the voters to help again and again and again. And it makes me wonder why we haven't expanded it to streamline it and to incorporate many other things that we could be doing. I'm going to mention two that I think are so important. But first, on the other end, seeing things from the streets, seeing how hard it is to jump through hoops, and most people in the city don't know about the children's levy. They don't know about these programs. And so we are seeing what we want to see when you're looking at something that's successful and that's all you see, you think the whole city is running that way, and it's not. The two things I would like to see we incorporate into the children's levy and all these programs is sanctuary. If we're a sanctuary city, we could actually, on the ground, work on it, make sure that these people are protected. And this is incorporating our law enforcement, unfortunately, which is a disaster. I mean, look at Baltimore. We need to have that kind of investigation here. Second is child sex trafficking. We don't talk about it enough. And there's been a few resolutions, whatnot. But I just remember that the first person to ever talk about it was Jimmy Carter when he came to town, and he did that twice. And since then, nothing's happened. And these are agencies, organizations, volunteers, people that have ideas, and we have access to the people that are suffering. So we need to make sure that we keep our law enforcement in check so that they're not part of the problem, producing the problem. Instead, they're helping us. And that will reach out to the people that are being left behind. There's so many people being left behind that don't know about the great things that we can do. Thank you for your time, commissioners and mayor.
Thank you.
Good morning again, STAR Stauffer. I would like to see this program eventually not be on a ballot and instead just be a normal part of our society every single day, something that we are readily investing in, without having to bring this up for the potential risk of being turned down every 5 years or shorter than that, because there are thousands of children at risk that benefit from this program. My son was one of them. My son is a sexual abuse survivor. And thanks to many of these programs, he has been able to grow up healthy and not traumatized and moving forward in his life as a, you know, lovely, wonderful, bright, educated young man. And I hate to say it, but $15 million is not enough when you're taking into account the thousands of children's lives that these programs and these volunteers and these staffers provide for these children. Like she said, sanctuary is a big part of this. And right now in this, in our country, as you well know, we're experiencing an attack on sanctuary. That's another reason that $15 million is not enough. $15 million does not take into account the violation occurring daily in sanctuary cities for our at-risk community members, both black and brown. We need to be increasing these funds to offer even more protections so that children can safely participate in these programs alongside of their parents, whether they're undocumented or documented. Thank you.
Thank you.
Halt on police.
Next, is there other public testimony?
That's all who signed up.
Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your ongoing work on this. The testimony did raise some questions in my mind. I'm happy to discuss those later. Aye.
Fish.
It's been said before here that this will probably be the enduring legacy of Commissioner Saltzman's service on this council, that he was our champion for children who didn't have a voice. And Dan has announced he's going to step down at the end of this year, which means it's incumbent on this council to continue the good work. Thank you, Dan, for your leadership, and I'm honored to support this resolution. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank everybody who was here today to testify, particularly the younger people. And I also want to thank the staff of the Portland Children's Levy, who continue to do a great job making sure that these dollars are accounted for and that we are getting outcomes from the organizations that we choose to invest in. And next step is on to the ballot, on to the May election. Aye.
Udaly.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, and thank you to all the community members that came out to support the children's levy today. I'm happy to vote aye.
Wheeler.
This levy supports 12,000 children per year, 71% of whom are children of color. This is not something that the council does independent of the community. Ultimately, the community gets to decide whether or not they would collectively like to support this, and overwhelmingly they've supported it since 2002. I am proud to join my colleagues in referring this to the May ballot, and Commissioner Saltzman, as always, thank you for your vision and for your leadership. I vote aye. The resolution's adopted. Next item will be 131.
131, authorize the city engineer.